This is the Uptick Newswire Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews, public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world, with your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing you back a returning guest. He was on my show back on May 7th, 2018. We're talking no other than Pressure Biosciences, Inc. Trade on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol PBIO. And with us today to talk about his company is the CEO, Rick Schumacher. They put out a press release today, and he's going to bring us up to speed. Rick, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Everett. I appreciate you having me. Thank you. Good day.
A lot of people are talking about your new press release that's out today. Bring us up to speed. What does it mean, and why is it a good thing?
Well, you know, Everett, we've financed our company over the last 4 or 5 years through debt. This was a method of getting enough cash in to grow the company from, you know, 5 years ago, we hardly had any sales. We had maybe 50 instruments in the field. Now we have over 300 instruments in the field. Our sales have moved up to $2.3 million a year last year. We're building a sales force. We've got key opinion leaders from all over the world that are now using our instrument and our consumables. So we've done this by borrowing money from very good investors, long-term investors, and using that cash to grow the business. Well, you know, the problem with that is that it looks pretty ugly on your balance sheet.
Right.
When you're trying to move up, we are an OTCQB, as you mentioned, company. We run ourselves like a NASDAQ company, but we are an OTCQB company. We have visions of moving up before the end of this year. It's our expectation we'll move up to the NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange, Amex. To do that, we have to clean up our balance sheet. Even though the debt's been very helpful to us and helped us grow our company, the debt is an eyesore to investors and is a problem when you're trying to move up to a national exchange. So I'm very happy to acknowledge what you said both today and about a month ago. We've now converted over 13.6 million, over 40 individuals have converted their debt into equity. So now the balance sheet is going to basically flip around. Where we had very little asset and a lot of debt, we've now gotten rid of most of our debt. We're left with about $3 million in loans, where we had $16.5 million just 30 to 40 days ago. That's now been converted. So very excited. Got a lot of phone calls today from people who are very excited. Investors, potential investors, friends, colleagues who have said, marvelous job, you know, for the company to move that debt over into an equity area of the balance sheet.
Yeah, you know, a lot. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago when you came on the show. You know, a lot of people don't know this, but you had, you know, hardly no revenues or very little. You just put out a press release in 2017. You did $526,000 first quarter 2018, and these are revenues from sales and service. In 2018 first quarter, you did $585,000. Can you expand a little bit on that and why the difference?
Sure. It was the debt that enabled us to have the capital to grow the business, to do more marketing, to make the machine that we sell better, more user-friendly. And so it takes time. We're breaking a paradigm that's existed in labs for maybe 50 years. I'm a scientist, and I can tell you, when I was in the lab 30 years ago, when I had to break open a cell, they said, break it open, Rick. Just crush it. Break it open. Yeah. Like if I give you a walnut, Everett, and say, break it open in a sledgehammer, you can break it open, can't you, with a sledgehammer? But you're not going to have very good extraction of what's inside. So when you're breaking open a cell, it's a major part of what scientists do every day. 500,000 researchers around the world every day are breaking open cells. These cells are viruses and bacteria. These cells are normal in cancer and precancer. They're animal, plant, human, microbial. Doesn't matter. You're breaking them open because all of the information, all the good stuff is inside that cell. And you got to be careful. You can't just, you know, break it open with a sledgehammer. So we've come up with a method by putting the cell under pressure,
right,
and turning that pressure on and off. We cycle the pressure. It's called pressure cycling technology. We cycle it. We turn it on and off, like squeezing a sponge, and at some point, you're going to squeeze that cell enough to break it. And once you know how much pressure, how long under pressure, and how many squeezes. We can dial that into the computer that's hooked to the machine and say, okay, this is a human prostate cancer cell. This is an animal lung cell. This is a bacteria causing a disease. We dial in how much pressure, how long under pressure, and how many cycles. And every time we do that, we'll get the same breakage of that cell, so we don't add a variability. That's extremely important science. So that's what we do. We build instruments and consumables that are used to break open cells, which is maybe the most critical part of studying biological samples, is breaking them open to get out the RNA, DNA, proteins, and lipids that contain all of the information that we need to find the next drug, the next vaccine, the next preventive strategy.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about your three flagship products, PCT, pre-EMT, and UST. Why are those three so important to the science world?
Well, they all use pressure. And honestly, pressure has really not been utilized that much, because until we came along, there was really no way of safely getting high pressure in the lab. And we use pressures that equal to 2, 3, 4, up to 6 times the pressure you would feel if you were at the bottom of the Marianas Trench. 6 miles of ocean. Imagine that, Everett. 6 miles of ocean on you. You're going to have 17,000 pounds per square inch on you. We will get you 17,000 or 34,000 or 51,000, all the way up to 100,000 PSI in our pressure chambers very quickly, very reproducibly, and importantly, extremely safely. Extremely safely. Because we're compressing water. Water barely compresses, maybe a couple of percent. So it's not going to blow up. If anything happens, it's just going to fizz out of a safety port in the back. So we use Mother Nature. We use pressure. Things under pressure act differently than they act when they're not under pressure. People act differently, right? We all act differently when we're under pressure. Sometimes
right.
Not good. Well, objects work. Biological objects work differently under pressure. We can make reactions go faster or slower. We can kill viruses and bacteria and make them safe to use in the laboratory. We can break one molecule in one cell and maybe not a second one in the same test tube. And therefore, if you have two different viruses, maybe you break one at a lower pressure and you don't break the higher one. So it's safe to study one and not both of them at the same time. So there's so many things you can do with pressure. And we're really the first company to come along that has a safe way for scientists to utilize very high pressure, pressures in the tens of thousands of PSI, which is the level of pressure you need when you start breaking open lung cells and cancer cells and bacteria and viruses. So we bring a whole new way to safely allow them to break open cells to get to all the good stuff, rather than having to use the methods that have been used for decades, which are mechanical and acid and other methods that break cells by brute force, where we're squeezing them gently until they break.
My guest today is Rick Schumacher. He's the CEO of Pressure Biosciences, Inc. They trade on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol PBIO. Rick, let me ask you this. I was reading some news about your company marketing with ISS Inc. worldwide, 2-year agreement. What's that all about?
Well, ISS is a terrific small company like us, but they've been around for, I think, about 30 years. They sell an instrument called a spectrophotometer, which basically reads things through light. And there's a number of scientists out there that would like to look at the reactions that they're reading with the spectrophotometer, but they like to look at the reaction under pressure, because again, under pressure things change, and they can look at different parts of a cell, different parts of a DNA, or different parts of a protein by looking at it under pressure. So we're working with them to help this whole system of looking, using the spectrophotometers that they sell all over the world, by getting them a very quick, safe source of pressure. They've been using a very archaic method in the past because they're not a pressure company, and their customers have had to use an archaic, what we think is very archaic method of generating pressure. We have a very 21st century way of generating very pressure very quickly and very safely and very reproducibly. So we're working with them to take our expertise and experience in pressure to combine it with their expertise and experience in testing and reading with spectrophotometers and making, we think, 1 + 1 = 3. So there's a lot of scientists out there that we believe that will start to line up and say, you know, if I can now use a spectrophotometer to read this reaction under pressure to learn more, that's what I want to do. So we're both companies are very hopeful that by combining our expertise, we end up with something that's better than the two of us separately.
You know, as a biotechnology company with a market cap of 4.2 million, stock price just a little bit above $3. Seems like you guys are very, very undervalued. If someone was listening to this interview, why should they go out and buy your stock?
Well, you know, we've done extremely well, in my opinion, in the last couple of years as a company. We have expanded our customer base to go from maybe 150 to close to 200 customers. We've been able to get some of the key opinion leaders in the world, the top protein scientists in the world are now using our system and publishing it on it. We have a brand new instrument came out last year that is hard to even keep it on the shelf. I give one example. There's one very large company that's owned by one of the top three biotech companies in the world. This company had one of our instruments in the first 5 years. They've purchased five of our instruments in the last year because the new instrument goes much further than the previous instrument. So we've done that. We bought a company, as you know, we talked about that the last time I was on your radio show. I appreciate it. A company called Verifold, which brings a whole new level to us. We're able to now work with the big biotherapeutic companies that are developing drugs, and we have a way using pressure, using patents that we purchased, to maybe help them get a drug to market. Totally different. And if we do, we are optimistic that we're going to get a piece of that through a royalty stream. And we have something called Ultra Shear, which we believe can make what we call nano-emulsions, which are two things that don't come together, that we force them to go together under pressure, and they're usually very stable. And things like milk is an emulsion. We can make, we believe, a number of emulsions much more secure, much safer, but particularly much more stable. So we have all these patents and all this technology that we didn't have a couple of years ago. Our sales have moved from, as you said, from under $1 million to almost $2.5 million. And a run rate this year is saying it's going to be between $2.5 and $3 million. We have all of this going for us. We've just cleaned up our balance sheet, and our stock is touching pretty close to its all-time lows, while the company is what I consider its all-time high in an ability to return something to the investor. So it is, in your opinion, as you said many times, and in our opinion, it is an undervalued company. It is one of these undiscovered gems. We've done well. We expect to continue to do well. And at some point, we think we'll be discovered. But until then, the stock is, we don't think, not even close to a true reflection of the value of our company.
Well, I want my listeners to take a look at PBIO. Again, it is my opinion that it's grossly undervalued by simple of these two metrics. First metric, the market cap is only around 4.3 million. Revenues will be anywhere from 2.2 million to 3 million. That's not even 1.5 times the thing, maybe 2 times at most, when it should be either 5 to 6 times revenues compared to market cap. Rich, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. In closing, is there anything that we get a chance to touch upon that you would like to illustrate to my listeners?
I think we did everything. I just want to, again, commend you on your radio show. You've come a long way. I've known you for a number of years, and I've seen how you've grown. We've both grown our companies together. I think you're doing a marvelous job. Keep up the good work, and I hope to get another invite soon.
Thanks, Rich. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care now.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by Uptick Newswire, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are those of the guests and those of the respective companies they represent and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff or management of Uptick Newswire. Uptick Newswire encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them or to seek the assistance of an investment professional. The guests of this program may have paid for its distribution and are not directly affiliated with Uptick Newswire or the station.